Welcome to the Panic Pod, that podcast talking about all things anxiety and panic attacks. We've been away on a bit of a break, but we're so glad to be back. How are you doing, Ella? I have missed you greatly.
I'm doing good. Yeah, the summer in Canada has been good, but I'm really excited. I'm going to be back in the UK with you soon, buddy.
Sounds brilliant. Mm-hmm. Come and join the social distancing fun.
Yeah.
Which I've been taking very seriously, because you should do.
Yeah. Same thing all over the world, really. Like what I'm doing here on a laptop in a room is going to be the same once we move over there. It's just changing locations. Mm. And hopefully things by the new year to look a bit more green.
Oh, it'll be fantastic to have you back. And I can't wait for the day, actually, where we can record an episode together in the same room again.
Which we did all of twice, maybe?
Yeah. No, I think it was four. I think the first four were in the same room. And then we kept up the illusion as best we could. Mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot of work on social media as of recent, and I was talking to you about that. I've been growing my Instagram profile, and what an amazing community there is on Instagram. I honestly didn't realize how engaging the community would be. I was a bit judgmental myself. I thought it was just for people with great teeth and buxom bodies and fitness gurus. All three of those don't apply to me.
Oh.
No, I don't apply to me. No, and it's been really, really well received. And I've actually got loads of ideas that I've shared with you prior to the show. And actually some of the ideas that inspired today's show. And so today I wanted to talk about anxiety versus an anxiety disorder.
Hmm.
You know, an anxiety versus an anxiety disorder. And I think it's really important because it distinguishes between what's, in inverted commas, normal anxiety and what is anxiety that treads into the realms of mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's kind of good to look at them both. Now, you're always great doing this, so I'm going to just keep putting you on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone listening home, I've seen Ella perform many live shows where she performs off the cuff, almost improvised, and she's an absolute legend at it. I mean, I just marvel at the genius of it. But I'm going to do it now in this podcast. So, Ella, what's the difference between anxiety and disordered anxiety?
Just like an improv show, I'll go, we present anxiety versus anxiety disorder. Okay. Well, what pops up for me first, when we're talking about this, is that it's not a disease because you're not like born with it and it's this chronic condition you're always going to deal with for the rest of your life. So, like, anxiety is really different, where we all have the same structure to maybe fall into a period of chronic anxiety. And I like to think of it more as like we all have the propensity to fall into a sleep disorder, right? Like, if you start having bad sleep and that carries on for a long time, you have chronic sleep disorder. But no one's really born with like a predisposition, unless you have like some other medical condition which is causing this like sleep disorder to happen.
Mm.
Like, it's not kind of a you're born with it or you're not sort of thing. So anxiety versus anxiety disorder, I think, is the one-off feeling of anxiety versus a disorder where it becomes repetitive and even more out of control. You don't have really the pause to reflect on it, and it can't be really as easily changed because it wasn't just sort of a one-off happenstance. Mm. Didn't have a very good day, so had some anxiety, and that was it, kind of occurrence. It's like when your loved ones around you are starting to notice that you look really burnt out, or if there's other things going on in your life that your doctor can say this might be linked back to your anxiety, then that is, I think, when it's probably more likely you have an anxiety disorder.
Mm, excellent. Excellent. What I really liked was how you drew a comparison to sleep,
Because everybody actually, can have bad sleep. Everybody can have a bad sleep or a lot of bad sleep.
Yeah, but well, that's exactly what disorder means. I say that to maybe my clients or people I speak to online or whatever, and I say, well, this sounds, I would never diagnose, but I say, this sounds like an anxiety disorder or a sleep disorder, or basically, and this is a really important thing to take from the show, anyone listening, and this is what I share with anyone, is all disorder means is a fancy medicalized way of saying this keeps happening. No, if you've got an eating disorder, then there's a kind of issues with eating that keep happening, whether it's bulimia, eating too much, or not eating at all. And when it keeps happening, it's an eating disorder. With a sleeping disorder, it's either we sleep too much or we sleep very little. It's a disorder. It keeps happening. And with an anxiety disorder, and we'll go through the types of anxiety disorders in a bit, but that is the same as, well, it keeps happening. You know, whatever the issue is, it's an issue that keeps happening. Now, there's a whole movement in psychotherapy, I've mentioned it before, called Drop the Disorder. And their aim and their mission is to get rid of medicalized labels within the psychotherapy profession. I really respect their view, and I listen to a lot of what they say. And I do agree that the kind of the mental health field and professions do need a kind of rehash in terms of it not being so medicalized. However, I still use the word disorder, much to the dismay of this crowd. They don't really like me. Because actually, as I specialize in anxiety and the different presentations, I find the word disorder not that bad to use. It's like, this is disordered thinking. This is disordered anxiety. This is a disordered fight or flight response. And it's a condition, and rightly, like you said, it's not a disease, it's a condition. And what's the great thing about conditions?
They're a condition. Just that what you're in.
Yeah, conditions change. You know, and that's why I look at it. So remember, disorder just means it keeps happening. So there's the good first distinction between anxiety and an anxiety disorder. So, you know, now we have to think about, well, what type of anxiety is happening to you and what keeps happening? What keeps happening to you? And let's think about some of our previous episodes that we've looked at. So our first one that came to me was intrusive thoughts. When does that become a disorder, do you think? Everyone gets intrusive thoughts, but when does that become a disorder?
The idea of disorder for me is sort of thinking about when the cycle repeats, there isn't something that's corrected and you can move on, but there's something in the correction that's causing more problems than it is fixing them. So for intrusive thoughts, I feel like the disorder might be when you begin to fear the intrusive thoughts and that becomes its own anxiety. Or you have the intrusive thought come in, and you can tell I've been spending a lot of time with you. Or the intrusive thoughts come in and you blame yourself for it, or you deal with it in a disordered way.
I mean, that was literally better than how I could describe it, which is I'm half impressed and half annoyed. Yeah, that's cool. You make a very good cognitive behavioral therapist with that. So if you ever consider going down that route, I recommend it. I'm sure after listeners would work with you anyway, because you get it. You get it most therapists I've met. Not to sound like superior, but secretly I am. Yeah, you're right. It's when we start to becoming stuck in thought loops, fear loops. And it's kept there
with beliefs. Which are much less fun than fruit loops, as we know. Fear loops are no fun to be in. Fear loops just keep going round. They're not really a loop. They're like a spiral. They just never end.
We don't really get Fruit Loops in the UK.
Wow. So the cereal didn't transfer over, but the words did. But the idea of a loop is kind of annoying because it's like it doesn't end. It's like more like a spiral. It's like as soon as you think you're done, then, and I mean this can maybe threw people back to the false comfort talk in one of our previous episodes. I found that super useful when we talked about worried voice, false comfort, because since that episode, I think I've recognized a lot more times where my false comfort was trying to just put the issue to bed quickly and not actually assess like what's been causing stress or a problem or something. It's like it's trying to just put a band-aid on it before you've like really looked at how bad things are, which isn't always good. If it's just like, oh, you're fine, don't worry about it, that can get questioned.
Yeah, no, definitely. As a psychotherapist, it's really interesting because I obviously advertise myself as someone who specializes in working with anxiety. So I'm going to invite you. I'm going to keep testing. Sorry, we've not done a session for ages, and I'm just throwing down.
You've got all these questions built up. Go for it. I'm ready.
I just don't have any content. I'm just palming it off onto you. No, I'm just, so there's like when people come to see me, they, you know, more often than not will come with issues related to anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And part of my job is to identify what type of anxiety. Now, it could just be anxiety about day-to-day things. Mm-hmm. You know, the title of this episode is Anxiety versus Anxiety Disorder. So I want to know what type of anxiety. Is it anxiety about an issue that's external to the client? Or is it anxiety that's an issue that's internal and disordered, like what we were talking about? So you could have panic disorder, health anxiety, social anxiety, generalized anxiety disorder. That's on the disordered side. So people come in and they could say, you know what, I'm worried about my relationship. You know what, I'm worried about my career. I'm worried about my job. I'm really concerned about finances. I'm worried about a loved one getting poorly, and it makes me feel anxious. Now, I'd sit there and go, okay, well, this is anxiety that we can look at through talking about the subject itself, because that's, in inverted commas, and forgive me for the want of a better term, normal or conventional anxiety.
Right.
You know, and that is still that's still the same response as anyone who with anxiety gets.
Mm-hmm.
But the onus is on looking at what's causing that externally. I also get people that come to me with anxiety, but this is the disordered anxiety. So these are the people that come to me and they say, I'm worried about having panic attacks. I'm worried that my chest pains mean I've got lung cancer. I'm worried that my dizziness means I have a brain tumor. I'm worried I can't go to that party because I'm afraid what people think of me. I can't even answer the telephone. You know, I'm worried about this derealization, this detachment feeling is me losing my mind. You know, I'm worried that I can't leave the house or my safe space. I'm worried that I can't get back in the car again, you know. And then you get like, and then the last kind of one, you get kind of like phobic worries as well, phobias and things like that. And so as a psychotherapist, it's really important to distinguish what type of anxiety. But then I've realized it's not just important for me. It's important for everyone to kind of identify what kind of anxiety it is. Because people just say, I've got anxiety. But that's an umbrella term for a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yes. The type of anxiety, I think, is really important because it helps us realize that we've all got different battles to fight. That's kind of been my biggest thing through all of this is that, like, I used to have really bad social anxiety, which I've talked about on the podcast before. And to think that there are so many things that I could do that I had no fear about and that other people would have so much anxiety about. But when it came to meeting new people, going to a social gathering with kind of new friends and stuff, like, that would get my heart racing. Like, that would scare me so much. And what can help you widen the scope and just think about the bigger picture in life, is to think about everyone's got their own anxieties that will be give you the lens that something is more scary to you than it might be to everybody else. Because also what happens to me sometimes is I have a lot of anxiety about something, and then I see a friend of mine just go through it like it's no problem, and you think, how did they just walk into that and do it fearlessly? And I've been like thinking about this for days or weeks of doing this thing, and they just did it like it was no problem. And I think that taking a step back to give yourself some compassion and understand that like everybody's got anxieties, but we've all got these different levels of what's more difficult for some people versus other people. And yeah, with the example of talking to someone who comes in about a particular anxiety in their financial world or their relationship world or whatever sphere of life they're talking about versus generalized anxiety, I think with generalized anxiety, you have a lot more fear of even unpacking what those other anxieties might be in your life, because you sort of think like, I'm scared to even approach my financial anxieties because it could be a lot there. I'm scared to open up what might be wrong in my relationship because there could be a lot there. And you're like scared to even look at those things that you could be addressing and giving some time to in order to unpack them and think about them. Almost feels like there's too much on your plate all at once to start to unpack all of them. So you're just trying to get by.
Yeah, definitely. And with generalizing, do you know what the most annoying one for people, I think, annoying is the wrong term, the most complex one, I think, apart from trauma, is generalized anxiety disorder. Generalized anxiety. And the reason why is that it's a chicken or the egg situation. But what people with generalized anxiety disorder don't realize is that actually it's the egg that comes first. The anxiety is already there. And it's the brain looking for reasons to worry. So we already feel worried. We and already feel already
a way to justify the feelings of anxiety.
Absolutely. Oh, I love it. Yeah. It tries to justify the feelings of anxiety. You know, and that's what's happening.
Yeah. When we have talked about fear versus anxiety, the way that I've made that distinction in my own mind, and I guess there's probably more nuance to this from a psychotherapist perspective, but fear versus anxiety to me is that fear contains the stimuli. Like you will have the thing that you're afraid of in front of you. So if, you know, you have some financial anxiety and then it's time to do taxes, you might get a little bit of a raised heart rate. You might get those symptoms of anxiety because you're scared of approaching that. And that's fear. The stimuli is there in front of you. If you are just having chronic sleep issues, or all of a sudden kind of like in the middle of your day, you're getting like a raised heart rate and you're not really sure why, like there's no particular stimuli there in front of you, then that sounds more like a generalized anxiety disorder, because the stimuli isn't there. It's just like all of a sudden your body's just so conditioned to creating this chemical response and psychological response that you go into a disordered anxiety.
Absolutely. Conditioning as well being one of them. And it's kind of what's really interesting, the difference between, another simplified way of distinguishing between, you know, conventional anxiety and disordered anxiety is, are you going inwards or are you going outwards? You know, when you're anxious or been anxious in the past, Ella, have you gone inwards or outwards? Where's the fear lie? Because you mentioned, I remember you saying about time when because you do a lot of performing, does it go outwards in the sense that I fear what everyone around me is thinking, I fear the consequence of judgment, or are you going inwards in terms of, I fear that my heart's going to explode, I'm going to pass out, I feel like, where does your anxiety go? Does it go to disordered or does it go to conventional?
Right. I think I can give two examples of this. So when I am on the dark edge of a stage, right before I'm about to go on, and right before I'm about to do some performing, I'll have raised heart rate, sweaty palms, any of those symptoms that you could associate with anxiety.
And mom's spaghetti? Sorry.
Mom's spaghetti? Even like the 3 hours leading up to a gig, I'll start noticing that I'm getting a little bit of a headache, or like just maybe more fidgety, less easy of a time concentrating on things. Like if my partner's trying to talk to me within like 2 or 3 hours of a gig, I won't be as present. I won't be as like relaxed to like engage them in a normal conversation. I'll be thinking about what's about to happen. But I have noticed as well that I'm trying to think of that as like, I am always exposing myself to fearful situations. And so I try to think about, at least if I'm getting those symptoms, I'm dealing with them in a healthy way. So when I'm on the edge of a stage and I'm feeling those things, I do sometimes just like kind of like observe, okay, like I'm looking around at like everyone. I'm sort of like a deer in the headlights, sort of like looking at what's going to happen next. And I'm going over, you know, my notes or checking the time or doing things. It's like, it's a lot of checking, but then I can still kind of take a step back in my mind and go, almost in third person, go like, Ella's really anxious right now. She's about to do a show. Okay. Like, and that feels healthy because it's sort of going like, oh, look at you. Yeah. You're in this state again of like an hour before a show. And then when I do that, I can kind of remind myself like, okay, you're not good. These feelings aren't going to go away, but like get some oxygen in your brain. Like just take some more breaths. And that's when I feel like I'm dealing with it. Even though the fear is there and the stimuli is there, I'm dealing with it in a pretty healthy way. Versus when my chronic anxiety comes out, I would say that's way more going inward or like a complete denial. Like, just having like a crazy week. And it comes up for me too. Like this is kind of the best example that I can think of for it, really, because I was just making dinner for my partner last week. And we had this whole sort of talk after of like, all what came up for me was like, I had this fearful feeling in my stomach that like wouldn't go away. But the problem was I wasn't saying, I feel bad right now, or I feel anxious right now. Like I wasn't even acknowledging to myself that it was a problem. I was just sort of like shoving it down, going like, just keep making dinner. It's no problem. It's okay. Just carry on. Like kind of giving myself that false comfort. And of course that feeling like didn't go away. And there was no stimuli there. It was just like this kind of like flare up of,
So you can relate to the generalized anxiety crowd.
It was more like because I couldn't, I guess for until I could label it, until I sort of like went over with my partner later and realized like, oh yeah, like this has been a really stressful week. And like, we've been on these long car journeys and like not talking about how we're feeling and like all sorts of stuff. Then we could put words to it and have a better understanding of like why that was there. But when it flared up and I couldn't even put a name to it, it was like I just kept shoving it back down again, because part of the generalized anxiety in my experience, and maybe this isn't really how it is for you doing people as that you're counseling, but by not naming it, it was like I didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to look at how huge it could be, because how huge it could be could just be this monster and I can't deal with that and I don't know how big it is, so I'm just going to ignore it. And if that happens over and over to someone, that's not healthy. You know, if you're constantly like getting these flare-ups and these really, really huge physical symptoms and you're not going to address it, like it doesn't just go away.
When you I like that what you were describing was kind of anticipatory anxiety, particularly before the show and stuff like that. But I don't know if you know this, but what was it that you were anticipating? What was the risk or the threat? If you know, you might not know, but what is the threat? Is it failure? Because I don't want to use that as a specific example to distinguish between anxiety and anxiety disorder. So what were you fearing at that time?
Yeah, so before a show, it's definitely a fear of failure, and the feelings that you have are kind of there to protect you. So I think I've made friends with those anxiety feelings a bit more than like chronic anxiety symptoms, because it's like, oh yeah, this is this feeling that I get before a show. It's meant to keep me sharp. It's meant to keep me prepared. It's meant to like make me kind of go over my checklist and make sure that I've got everything. So although it doesn't feel necessarily good and I wouldn't want to be in that state for like 7 hours, like I kind of just know this is only going to last so long. This isn't that severe. And it's kind of helping me. It's kind of trying to help keep me alert to the fear of failure. It is really a fear of failure. Mm. And also when I say that I have those moments where it's like, okay, just take some deep breaths. In those moments, I also do have to, as I'm treating those symptoms of anxiety, I'm also going like, and you might fail, but like, what's happened when you fail? Like, we've talked about this in other episodes before. It's just like, and if there is failure, that just requires acceptance. If that does happen, you're not going to die. And that also helps to ameliorate some of those feelings as well, which is different to chronic anxiety, because I don't really know what I'm fearing. Is that kind of what you're getting at when it comes to chronic
anxiety? But it's the very same thing, though. What you're experiencing there is the very same thing as people who suffer from chronic anxiety. Mm-hmm. But I think I want to use that example of you an hour before the show going out in front of people and doing stuff and being anxious for it. Now, just as an example, like conventional anxiety, we'd be worried about, oh no, I hope I don't fail. I hope it's a success. I hope everyone's happy. I hope I do it for me. Mm-hmm. But with anxiety disorder, particularly like panic disorder or very kind of worry about worry, someone with an anxiety disorder would perhaps go on and worry about how their body and mind would react just to them. Mm. What if my anxious response spoils it? What if I throw up? What if I panic so much I can't open my mouth? What if I have a panic attack on stage? Mm-hmm. What if I have palpitations? What if I lose control of my bowels? Mm-hmm. What if all this? And suddenly, and this is why I asked kind of what's the difference between inwards and outward, like anxiety disorders are very much inwards, mm-hmm. and conventional anxiety is very much kind of outwards. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just want listeners to take that on for today's session. It's like the difference between anxiety and disordered anxiety. Disordered anxiety can lead to mental health issues when we're constantly stuck in that loop of worrying about how we feel, worrying about the anxiety itself, I think, mm-hmm. is the big one as well. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about the anxiety itself. Also, it's a fear of sensations. An anxiety disorder is a fear of sensations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I fear the sensations. So you went up on stage and you were like, my hands are sweaty, my heart's going, my mind's racing. But you didn't question it. You're like, yeah, I get it. I'm anxious. This is kind of good. It's adrenaline. It's good for me, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But for people with anxiety disorders, that's like, oh my God, why is this happening? What does this mean? Yeah. And there's a fear of the sensations and the misinterpretation of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I just think about if I were to have those same symptoms that I have an hour, half an hour before a show, just randomly, like I say, like I was just making dinner and then all of a sudden I had all these anxious feelings similar to what I'm used to. And I was like, what was scary is because I was like, I don't know why this is here. Like, I don't know what invited this or what's going on. And that can be really scary because it's like,
I'll find out.
I don't know why I have this feeling of doom. Yeah. And I have to now go down this rabbit hole to figure it out, which is where I think a lot of people's minds go is, well, okay, now I have to figure out why. What's going on?
Yeah, and it just depends. I just think it's really interesting. Right, short quiz before we finish the episode.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a client, and you're the unlicensed therapist again. We're playing this one. So unlicensed maverick
therapist, especially with Jar, because I know you'll be okay. I know I can't permanently damage you.
No, well, you could do. It depends. you're an unlicensed therapist and I am a multitude of clients. I'm just going to quickly come in with a presentation and you're going to tell me whether it's conventional anxiety or whether it sounds like, you're not going to diagnose me, but whether it sounds like a certain anxiety disorder. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hi, Ella. My name is Andrew. And once I was at work and my boss shouted at me, and I'm kind of scared to go in to see him because I don't want to be criticized by my boss again, because I'm really worried about my career. I'm really worried about my work. I'm really worried about kind of, you know, even when I send emails and stuff, and it's just playing on my mind because I don't really want to, you know, I need to pay my mortgage, I need to pay my rent and stuff. Mm-hmm. What kind of anxiety is that?
Well, it sounds like this is to do with a particular sphere of your life, that this is coming up whenever you're dealing with work and associated with work, because that's a pretty traumatic event. Like, it's traumatic when someone yells at you and is criticizing you, and then that can start to feed into the other things that you do. So it's good because you know what needs to be addressed, which is this moment where your boss was yelling at you. But also, thankfully, this is quite an isolated set of stimuli that's affecting you. So I think mm-hmm. this isn't an anxiety disorder. This is an example of feeling anxiety, but not anxiety disorder.
Oh, cool. Excellent. Number two. Well done. 100%. Cool. Number two. Hi, my name is Sinead, and I found out recently that I had a health scare 2 years ago, and it was fine, and I was okay, and I had a minor operation, and everything was fine. However, now I became overwhelmed recently, and I'm obsessed that something's wrong with me and my body. And so what I've been doing is that I have aches and pains in my chest. So what I do is I Google constantly, and I seek reassurance from my partner Sarah, and I'm doing Sarah's head in, and constantly seeking reassurance, and it plays on my mind all day, every day. It affects social events. It affects my work. What kind of anxiety is going on here?
Mm. Well, it sounds like when you're checking those symptoms, with health anxiety, we often want to find an answer. That's what we're seeking when we Google the symptoms, and when we check with our doctor or check with our partner, and we're trying to fix it. But sometimes when you search those things, it actually just gives you like a temporary false comfort, or you end up in sort of a spiral where you're feeling the anxious response, and then you give yourself a false comfort that it's okay, but it hasn't really put the issue to bed, so it comes up later. And this process of dealing with it is kind of sounding like it's spiraling out of control past the point of being one isolated event that you've cured, you've dealt with. You had that anxiety scare you had that health scare in the past that's in the past now, but that past event seems to have caused a disorder that's repeating the same story over and over again. And I think to really unpack this and deal with this, you might have to talk to someone a bit more about if there's any kind of traumas from that past event that you're still holding on to that's causing this disorder, if you could have maybe a healthier way of dealing with the health anxiety when it comes up. Personally, for me, my tip for that is when I track a symptom and make a decision to, you know, go see a doctor in 2 weeks, I put it in my calendar and I remind myself, don't think about it until that comes up again, unless there's an appointment or a time in a week or 2 weeks that I've told myself, okay, let's check my symptoms again, or get someone to check my symptoms. You can't be in a constant state of panic about that kind of thing. So I think what you have here is an anxiety disorder around health anxiety.
Oh, very good. Very good. I'll do one more for you. Cool. That's very good. I've been going through, hi, my name's Jake. I've been going through a tough time recently. My partner gave birth to twins. I've just kind of had a promotion at my job. Got moved into a new house as well. But recently my dog died. Just loads of stuff's happening. Anyway, I was at work one day and I was making a cup of tea, and I suddenly felt really spaced out. My heart started to pound. I didn't feel like my reality was here. And I freaked out, and I ran home. And what I now know, that was a panic attack. But I'm absolutely terrified of going back to work, and I haven't been back to work since. What's that?
Well, yeah, it sounds like there's been a lot going on in your life. It's hard to say that there was one.
I love how you're responding to this like an agony aunt. It's fantastic.
That's when you asked a linguist to do therapy. This is the closest I'm going to get. I'm going to sound like
it's brilliant. I'm not mocking. It's absolutely fantastic.
I'd probably be good in a newspaper, maybe not as a therapist. Okay. So because there's just been so many sort of like ups and downs, I don't think that you could say that this is an anxiety about one particular event. You know, it's exciting, but also scary when you have twins in your life and you just lost your dog. So you're going to this whole new chapter. But that panic episode, is a physical response to just a lot of things that are going on in your life right now. But it doesn't mean that is ever going to hurt you. If you do have an anxiety attack again, it's a really uncomfortable feeling, but and as much as it might feel like you're about to die or you're in a lot of pain, like, it will pass and it will go away. It sounds like this is an example of chronic anxiety, of an anxiety disorder. And to unpack this, it might be good to talk to someone about the whole kind of hurricane of life events you have going on. And I think that will help take away some of the fear you have about it happening again.
Oh, very good. You honestly make a fantastic therapist. You really would. If it ever interested you, Ella, I mean, you're multi-talented in anything, but if it ever interested you...
I'll just dish out advice on podcasts like an agony aunt.
Yeah, there's something in that. The unlicensed therapist. The irony being offering so much great advice. absolutely brilliant. All right, yeah. Today's episode has been anxiety versus an anxiety disorder. Big thanks to Ella. Big demands on you actually in this one, and you killed it. Fair play. We'll leave it there, and we'll catch up with them next time.
Mm-hmm. We really like addressing this lovely community that we've found. You know, there's people on Instagram, there's people who comment.
If you want to get in touch,
like, I'll do all the plugs, and whichever medium you're contacting us, like, if you have a question that you'd like to have answered anonymously or otherwise, you can email talk@thepanicroom.co.uk. You can just DM us on Instagram. That's @thepanicpod. Where else? Is that it? Where else can people get in touch with us?
Oh, not forget, go add Ella on Instagram as well. So
I'm Ella of the Net, isn't it? And you're Anxiety Josh.
Anxiety Josh.
Yeah.
Anxiety. Yeah. And that'd be, I really enjoyed this. This has been lovely. I will catch you next time, Ella, and listeners at home will catch you next time too.
Excellent. Talk to you soon, Josh. Bye.
Bye-bye.